Hey guys, Sil Mace Warrior here, episode 4. And today, like always, I'm excited and you're going to hear me like constantly talking about how excited I am to have all these guests on here. But today I have Coach Seth Gibson. Did I say that right?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. That's me.
He's actually from Washington, right?
Yep. Seattle. Yeah.
Seattle, Washington. So he's a movement coach. He's a Viking Ninja martial arts coach, right?
Yep.
Tech artist at Facebook. What does that mean? That's actually interesting. I'm going to ask you that.
We're going to talk about that
technology background. And then you're a certified on it, like everything, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yep.
Yeah, which I'm like really impressed by. I'm like, I went on your Facebook. I'm like, oh my God, this dude is like certified like everything.
Yeah, I think Sam had a great quote. He said, "You're like the most on it certified person on the planet." Yeah. I'm like, okay, I can live with that. That's cool.
I thought that was crazy. I was like, that's awesome, though. All right, so like, can you tell me like your background? Like, what's your story? Like, how'd you get to the Steel Maze?
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of like a lot of folks, I was the kid growing up who, you know, his parents put him in sports all the time. And so I did, you know, I did everything. I was on swim team. I was a wrestler. I was a martial artist. You know, I played, you know, all the Pee Wee sports, soccer, basketball, baseball, you name it. And that was all well and good. And until my dad brought home a computer one day, and then I got into the whole tech thing, got a little away from fitness, got a little out of shape, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because it was actually like technology that sort of brought me back to all that training. We can talk about that. But at some point I kind of just got back into it. You know, for me, fitness has really always been about being performance based. And what had happened one day was, you know, I'd started taking this Brazilian martial art called capoeira, which is, you know, the Brazilian breakdance fighting, as people call it.
Cool. And,
super fun. But one day, my master, you know, pulls me aside and says, hey, you know, I can tell you really love this and you could be really good at it. But, you know, as most non-Americans are, he was very direct. He's like, you need to lose 20 pounds. And so I was like, yeah, you're right. I do. And so being kind of the software engineer kind of nerd brain, I just went totally deep into researching like the best ways to train for performance and fitness. And I realized that as I was reading all this stuff, I was like, wow, this is really interesting. I mean, it's actually a lot like doing software engineering, you know, putting a program together for somebody or for yourself, because, you know, you have to kind of figure out, you know, what's the output you want? What are the inputs that are going to get you there the quickest?
And then crazy.
You have to kind of debug. You're like, okay, well, I tried that. It didn't really work. So, what, you know, do I tweak my nutrition? Do I tweak my recovery? And and then at some point I was working for, so before I came to Facebook and that, I was actually a game developer. And so I was working for a company called Crystal Dynamics, who worked on the Tomb Raider series, if you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
And wow. So, yeah, right?
I had no idea. This is so cool. This is like the best podcast ever.
Yeah, I've been all over the place. But wow. And it was kind of cool because a lot of tech companies now have very, very good fitness and corporate wellness programs that include things like on-campus gyms. And so I would go to the gym and I would use that as my kind of my research lab. I would try out things and people would see me doing stuff that, because this was way back before CrossFit or unconventional training was really like popular. So I was doing, you know, cleans and snatches and kettlebell work. And people were like, whoa, you don't see that very often. And so a lot of the guys on my team were like, well, hey, can you train us? You know, can we work out with you? So, you know, so I started writing programs for people. And again, I was like, well, this is really fun. I wonder if I could actually do this. And so a couple years ago, let's see, probably about 4 years now, I was kind of, you know, climbing that hill up to 40. And I guess I had kind of what passes for me as a midlife crisis. You know, I was kind of like, oh man, I've been doing tech for almost 20 years. It's cool, but do I really want to keep doing it? And I started thinking again about personal training, of course, because that's the thing I always go back to. And I, you know, I'd even owned a gym for a little bit at one point. And so I said, okay, well, let's see if we can make a run at that. But this time I really, really want to get a real education. Cause, you know, cause back in the day it was kind of like, you know, just read whatever's on T-Nation and then try and cobble programs together. And I was like, no, I want to learn how to do this correctly. And that's actually what brought me to the Onnit Academy was another funny story. So another guy who works in tech that I'd known from games for years, he's also a bit of a fitness buff, lives out in Austin. And he had sent me this a link to a podcast I think it was the early Onnit podcast back when Orlando was doing them with Kelly Storette, because he knew that I was a mobility guy and I loved all that stuff. And I didn't really know what Onnit was about. I'd seen the Facebook ads and seen Joan Rogan, but I actually thought they were like a clothing company.
Right.
And but then I watched that podcast and I was like, wow, that's super legit. I love the questions that Lando's asking him. I love kind of their approach. So of course, as you do, you know, I binge watched all the podcasts on YouTube and yeah. I found the one with John Wolfe. And at the time I had been doing this, Russian martial art called Sistema that was all about movement and breath work and tension management. And so John was talking about a lot of that stuff. And since that was kind of at the forefront of my mind, I was like, oh my God, these guys get it. And completely coincidentally, I was living in California at the time, and I was going to fly up to Seattle one weekend to DJ a show. And completely coincidentally, they were having one of the very first, back when it was called On at Level Ones in Seattle. So I was like, oh crap, I'm going to be there this weekend. So I should sign up for that.
Right. So,
I went, met John Wolfe, met some other really awesome On It-ish guys, Travis Janeway, that guy, and I was hooked. And so of course, that's where I got my introduction to the mace, and I was like, oh, this is great. I love the On It
philosophy.
Back in the
day, level one meant like, were they doing like everything in one, or was it just like, was it like the foundational stuff? Or?
Yeah, so level one became foundations.
Got it. Okay.
And here we are today. So yeah, going back, I went to all the launches and I went to E6 first mace course and Marx's first kettlebell course. And so, yeah.
Wow. You go like way back,
Definitely. Yeah,
this is awesome. Right on. So you have like a martial arts background. And I hear you mentioning all this stuff. Like maybe you can like talk about a little bit about the martial arts aspect or.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that was one of the things that, like I said, my parents put me in a bunch of stuff, and martial arts was the one that really just got me. And not because I was a fighter, not because I was like a violent kid or an angry kid. It was just of all the movement practices I had done, like that was the one that just really spoke to me, just because it was focused. There was this intensity, but there's also this beauty to how you move. I mean, it's not just movement. It's movement with a purpose.
Right.
And it requires, it requires mental engagement and focus, but it also requires a high level of physical fitness. So, so it's a little bit of everything. And that's really why I just kind of glommed onto martial arts. And so when I moved to, places like California and Seattle, where it's just all over the place, obviously I got really spoiled.
Right.
So, to this day, it's still something that I love doing, obviously, with, now with Viking Ninja. And so, yeah.
Right. Like I barely found out about Viking Ninja like a little bit ago, being on Instagram. Of course, I'm always on Instagram. So what is Viking Ninja? Is that related to On It or?
So Viking Ninja is, so the term Viking Ninja is actually, it's a nickname for Isak that he got from Aubrey Marcus, and he turned it into a training program. It was one of those, he's a huge fan of martial arts, loves Bruce Lee, loves the UFC fighters he works with. Of course, obviously loves the Steel Mason bodyweight training because, Isak's got a background with, TacFit and CST, the guys who are really the pioneers in that sort of training. And so his thought was to say, well, how can we take the steel mace and the principles of steel mace training and apply them to, first of all, other tools, and also apply them to all the unconventional tools you already know, whether it's body weight, clubs, but coming from the steel mace rather than coming from the tool directly.
Right.
And then how can we take all those and use kind of the martial arts to create this movement practice that's influenced by martial arts movements, but serves as kind of like that skill development aspect of training. And that's why we have the Viking striking and nunchucks and the bow staff and the screaming out. So you learn the basics of movement and training with the tools. And then we say, okay, well, here's how you would apply those to an actual like skill to practice. So,
right. Wow. That's like warrior approved.
Yeah.
So I think someone should hit up Seth if you're like into that stuff. I was looking at it and I was just amazed by it. Like all the videos and stuff that he's been posting and then you've been posting about it. And I'm just like, I need to ask about that because that's real interesting. It kind of started with steel mace for him, right? So that's cool. That's really cool. It's like a transition, other tools and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So because like I said, his first you should have him on. He could tell you this story better than I do. But so he actually started with the clubs because that's what TacFit and the CST guys were into. And then you guys have probably heard this story, but when John Wolfe called him up to On It, John put a mace in his hand and said, "Hey, figure out what to do with this."
Yeah. Yeah.
And Isak, I mean, he's just taken it and sprinted with it. And I think we're all lucky because now we're all here and we get to, folks like us get to take advantage of that. So,
yeah. Yeah. And then his body has just like transformed like over time. Yeah. If you like see like all his videos, I'm like, wow, mm-hmm. he's like in the best shape of his life. And I'm like, see, steel mace can get you in the best shape of your life. It's a bunch of mm-hmm. bullshit. Cause you know, a lot of people think, oh, it's a steel mace. Like mm-hmm. it's not heavy. It's like, it's not mm-hmm. heavy at all. And then they get into it and they're like, it changes their mind and it changes their world and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's what it did to me. Have you ever like experienced that with anyone? Like anyone like, you know, that's not heavy enough. I don't see how that can work me out, you know, when it comes to steel mace.
You know, not really. A lot of the folks that, so I'm really lucky. I don't work with a whole bunch of people right now. You know, people kind of seek me out, so they kind of understand sort of what they're getting into. And so when I give somebody a 10-pound mace, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. But then on top of that, you start to teach them things like how to really properly irradiate with it. Like you say, make the lightweight feel heavy. And 20 minutes, they're just like, oh my God, that was 10 pounds. It's like, yeah, man, but that's all you, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I always have that trouble here because I'm in Yuma. You know, it's a mm-hmm. small city and people mm-hmm. aren't very familiar with the steel mace. So, I work with like a lot of CrossFitters, you know, like not work, but, you know, I have a lot of friends that are CrossFitters. And so they look at this and they're like, no, that's not going to work me out. Like, mm-hmm. well, how much does that weigh? It's like 10 pounds, 15. Yeah. No, I can't picture myself doing that or whatever. But, it's a different story once you put it in their hands mm-hmm. and stuff, you know?
Yeah. And the really cool thing about, I think, taking that approach is that even as a beginner, you know, from day one, you can start to ingrain those ideas that, like, you know, movement should be clean. And there's a lot more to moving than just kind of, you know, throwing your body in one way and holding onto a weight and hoping it happens. You know, like for beginners, especially, actually this kind of ties into a question somebody asked me. My buddy Jordan asked me, like, what are the best three movements for a beginner with a steel mace? And it's very simple. You know, I think the lap squat, the I call it a motorcycle grip press, just so people remember to roll their wrists forward. And then the high hinge row, I think are some of the best movements because you really, because since it's a lightweight, but you're going to do it with patterns that you might be used to doing heavily. You know, I mean, right. We see people like do barbell rows all the time. They're kind of just jacking the weight up or they're doing a squat, just dropping into it. But it's like, no, like let's take those patterns and that mace, use the mace as a proprioception tool, radiate against it. And now go into the pattern and, you know, you're going to see right away, like I said, you're going to see where you're weak. You're going to see where that pattern fails because you're going to try to be generating internal tension and you're going to get to a point where you're just gonna be like, oh, I can't irradiate in this position. And that's, you know, that's a bunch of things. That's maybe your nervous system just isn't used to being active in that position. Or maybe you do just have a weakness there. So right. Like I said, you get that idea into somebody's head right away. And I think as they progress, they're going to see that, you know, they're going to see much faster, much safer progression over a shorter period of time. And that applies to everything. You know, actually, another one of my friends, my buddy Andres, who I trained, another martial artist, I trained Kaji Kembo with him for many years, and he's actually become quite a great jiu-jitsu player, was asking me for this, you know, what do you do for conditioning? Well, if you think about skill and especially sports-specific conditioning, a lot of that is generating power, right? I mean, you know, whether it's jiu-jitsu, it's sprinting. And a lot of times I think we think, well, I'm just going to train really hard. And I'm just going to redline it. I'm just going to get my heart rate up as high as I can and hope that conditions me. But if we think about the whole process of generating power, well, that starts, again, from your brain. It starts in your nervous system, right? You have to be able to irradiate. You have to be able to efficiently get your nervous system to fire all the muscles you need to fire when you need to. And so again, being able to take a mace and really learn how to radiate properly, really learning how to engage and activate that nervous system. Well, you know, if you want to learn how to generate power and get conditioned, that's where it starts. But at the same time, if you just want to be strong, if you just need to be able to just be like, if you're a power lifter, you just need to be able to be like rigid and static under a bar because you want to squat 500 pounds, same thing, right? You need to just take that mace and just, you know, pull it apart and learn how to generate that tension. So that's one of the things that I really love about the mace is that, like, from a small set of very simple movements, you can go anywhere with it, whatever you train with, you know, so.
Yeah, and I think it's cool that you brought this up because I don't think I've hit any of these topics with my last guest, but, you know, how it can translate into sports, you know, like the gripping too, you know, like with the tennis racket or whatever you want to use, golf, whatever, the rotational power, like it translates over to the steel mace can translate over to all these sports, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely. Awesome. And if we think about, you know, you mentioned grip, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because if we think about how that actually translates back to sort of overall mental development, I mean, you know, we know nowadays that physical activity is a key to mental health, right? Like, and, you know, like the more we move, the more healthy our brain gets. Well, Have you ever heard of, they call it the, like the cortical homunculus? That might be something interesting to look up.
I love when the hard words come in. I probably wouldn't even be able to pronounce that. No, I've never heard of that. Let's talk about it.
Okay. I'll send you a link to it, but, I'm not going to go too deep into it. But the reason I bring it up is, so what it is it's this map of kind of the areas on your body. Basically it takes functions on your body or areas of your body, like say, you know, your fingers, your lips, your tongue, and it maps them to how much brain real estate, I guess, how much nervous system real estate is applied to them. So I'll send you a link to it, but you get this picture of this skewed human who's got giant hands and giant lips, because if you think about it, these are the things that our brain really, like, most of our neural power goes to, is being able to sense things through our hands and through our lips. And so if you're doing exercises that kind of, you know, work your hands, work your grip, you know, I mean, I think it's safe to say that you're probably also going to get a great level of neural development from that. So it's synergistic. It works both ways. You know, it's that brain body connection we talk about all the time. Right.
Right.
So, again, this is just why the Mace is such a wonderful tool. So,
yeah. And you know what? And I feel like I feel that a lot when I flow, when I start to flow, you go into that, like, and I talked about this with Serena in the last episode. We talked about, well, she mentioned it, that she gets into this like focused state, like the flow state and stuff like that. And I think that's, I don't know if it's related to what you're talking about, but I feel like there's a connection there. It's just pure mind sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Right?
It absolutely is. And there's actually a great book on that. A great author, Stephen Kotler is the guy's name. I would recommend anybody look up his work. But and he talks about all these interesting things that happen when you go into flow state. But yeah, being able to, first of all, being able to like move between just kind of unscripted movements. I mean, if you think about like, you know, you do stuff like that and you realize, not only am I physically taxed, but my brain is tired from just trying to do that. Right. Because that's real neural effort. And it's funny because as we kind of ramp up that intensity, that is, as we either flow faster or with more intention or with more complex movements, or we flow in a situation where we're having to react to somebody, like say something like ballroom dance or jujitsu or any sort of partner drill, obviously that level of neural development just goes up with that as well. In fact, there was I'll see if I can find this and send it to you too, but there's this paper that was sort of making the rounds in a kind of my fitness sphere about, I'd say about a year ago. It was on PubMed. And the short of the paper was that if you want to do something that really, really just gives you a great level of physical and neural development, yeah, do something where you have to do unscripted movements in response to an external stimulus. So things like I said, like jujitsu, like, you know, like combat sports, like ballroom dancing, like any sort of partner activity like that. So, you know, so you can imagine, like, you know, if you're doing like a one for one flow with somebody, or you're doing like a follow the leader Mace flow with somebody, right? Well, now you have to do your own flow, but you also have to be aware of what they're doing. So of course that's just going to, you know.
Yeah. Your brain's going to be like, oh my God, what do I do? What
absolutely.
Do I do? It's like, all right. Well, those are freaking cool resources. I'll put them in the podcast notes. I'm going to start calling them that.
Sure.
I'm going to put them in podcast notes and, you know, just send me all the links and I'll put them in there.
We'll do.
Yeah. All right. So can we talk a little bit about your like Facebook and
yes, please. Absolutely. Anything's fair game. So
you mentioned, you know, I'm assuming this is like after, I don't know, you tell me, just, you know, working as a, you know, in technology, right. You work as a tech, what's tech artist? What does that mean? First of all.
So the joke in tech art as an industry is we're the guys who are, we're not good enough artists to be production artists, but we're not good enough software engineers to be full engineers. So we kind of sit in the middle, and in a company like Facebook, for example. So the technology I work on is, you know, when you use Instagram or you use a Facebook camera and you can put the face masks on and stuff like that. So that's what I work on.
Oh, and right on.
Yeah, it's fun. And so what it means is I do things like I write some of the code that makes those effects work. And on the art side, it means I actually make some of the art that you actually see in the viewport too. So because there's a component, there's a little bit of component to each. Like, you know, you have to make the arts for the display, but then you also have to write the code to tell Instagram or Facebook like how to actually display it to kind of respond to people. So that's
right. Yeah, I just wanted to know. I just had to like ask about that because that's interesting, because you're over here doing all this Viking Ninja still made.
Sure.
And there you are working for Facebook. So that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I don't sleep much. It's a lot of fun. So.
Oh no, you need your sleep.
Yeah.
Do you like, is there any other questions you want to like go through with your people?
Actually, yeah, I had a couple of really good questions. Let's see. And actually this is something I kind of like to put on you, because this is something I like to ask a lot of people, but when you're either training with a Mace for yourself or working with somebody, how do you schedule your Mace training? And that's actually a question I got from one of my buddies as well.
That's real good. Honestly, I plan it. I plan it way ahead of time. And I think about it before I even go into, you know, training with it or whatever. I don't know if is that something, obviously everyone plans it, but.
And is there like a specific focus? Like do you use a mace just for general conditioning? Do you like to use it for?
You know, right now, I'm actually training with Matt Burberry. I don't know if you know Matt, but yeah. He's actually taught me how to slow down. You know what I mean? So right now I'm at that point where I'm doing it real slow. I'm trying to use it in a strength way because I've always been kind of like little, you know, I'm short, sure. Tiny. So I've been kind of trying to use it in a strength way. And then I've been trying to get more into flow too. So, which is actually harder than doing the individual exercises because you're combining it all and it's a whole another level.
Yeah, I agree. But like I said, I'm actually glad that a lot of people have really started to get more into that. And I know this is something we also want to talk about, that kind of that more like that movement culture approach, that kind of that natural movement almost where it's like, well, I could do squats or I could do curls or, you know, not to fire any shots here, but I could do, you know, the sagittal focus stuff or I could just move. I could just move the way my body is designed to move, you know, and that's I think a really interesting approach because I think there's this, you know, you'd asked me about this before the podcast, all the natural movement stuff. And I think there's a school wherein people think, okay, well, we should just go back to the way we used to live, or at least however we could figure that out. And I think there's some merit to that, but the reality is, I don't know if you're into like Terrence McKenna or kind of any of the psychonauts or any of those guys, the guys who are really into psychedelic research. But so I'm not going to talk too much about Terrence McKenna because I could spend days talking about mushrooms and psychedelics and entheogens. But he
question
he has a,
question have you tried yes, it?
Am I allowed to say that on?
Yeah,
on
this?
I have, and I think everybody should. You know, I think it's a very healthy experience.
Yeah,
it done right, of course. I mean, obviously, it's not a party drug. It's not a thing you do with your boys at a rave. It's, you know, do it properly.
Right on.
So, but back to Terrence. So he likes to say the gist of a quote he has is that, like, the reality is we're not going to go back to that world of hunter gathering. You know, the simpler time. And you know, personally, I think that's okay. There's another friend of mine, a guy by the name of James Broderick, who, if you're into ancestral health, runs a great podcast called Ancestral Health Radio, where he talks about this. But what he likes to say is that he calls it transition. So he says, well, let's look at those ideas, but let's also take into account the fact that we're much more sophisticated now. You know, I mean, we think differently, we have more information. So how do we take the things that, you know, from that, the, you know, the hunter-gatherer era, for example, that were good for us, that were, you know, the way we were supposed to live, quote unquote, how do we filter that through everything we've learned and what happens when we come out on the other side, right? I think, and I agree, and that's where things like the mace come in, right? Because it was this tool that warrior cultures and people used back in the day. But then you look at something like, say, what Isik has done, and he said, okay, that's cool. What else can we do with this? You know, somebody like him who's got this deep, deep background in exercise science and massage and physiology and experiment with it and come out the other side. So, you know, you're still doing the same classes of movements. You know, if you think about like a hunter-gatherer, he would run, he would climb, he would jump, you know, a lot of rotational stuff, a lot of power, a lot of very kind of output. Well, we can do that with modern tools now, just safer and not have to worry about getting eaten by a saber-toothed tiger, right? So I know, like I said, we talked about natural moon. That's a bit of a tangent, but I think that's how that kind of connects to sort of where we are now.
Right. So, I think that's awesome too, because, like, you know, we're constantly in front of computers, in front of iPads, in front of phones. So getting back to that, whether it's not like completely primal, but I mean, obviously it helps keep our body, you know, at that primal level, you know, something we're totally missing. Like,
absolutely. And again, and that's another great thing about the mace, right? It's a portable tool. So rather than try and subscribe to this kind of broken exercise model we have, where, like you said, we sit at our desks for 8-10 hours, then we go and work out for an hour and hope that undoes it. It's like, no, take your mace with you and set a timer, and maybe every hour and a half, go do some swings. You know, just do 5 or 10 swings, just, and do that all day. You know, there's one of my buddies down in Oregon, Zach Blaine, that's how he trains. You know, he runs a gym. But his personal training is he picks a movement and says, okay, by the end of the day, I have to do N reps of this movement. And it's usually some number like 100 reps or 100, some crazy number. But again, that's the kind of thing that makes you sort of take those little pockets of movement, you know, movement snacks, we call them, during the day, and say, okay, well, I'm just going to bang out a couple of reps. And, you know, you're not gassing yourself out. You're not dying, but you're still, and you're actually, you know, if you think about it, you're actually probably exercising the way that your physiology and your body wants you to. It's like, yeah, just do a little bit here, do a little bit here, don't go crazy, So, and
that's actually really interesting. I'm going to try to do that.
Yeah, I love it. You know, I usually keep a mace or kettlebell or clubs at my desk. You know, I set a, there's a, I think it's called like online, it's just online-timers.com or something. I'll send you a link to that too.
Yeah.
I just set a timer and every hour and a half it goes off and it's like, oh, okay, I need to either do a stretch or move around or grab that kettlebell or go hang off the pull-up bar, you know? So.
That is awesome. That's like new to me. It's weird, but hearing it like in, you know, like every hour workout, like that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I said, it's a great way to break up your day too. You know, it's one of those. So then because, you might've seen this, but recently there've been kind of sort of this. Okay. So let's go back. So originally it was, oh my God, sitting is the new smoking. Like everybody has to stand up now. So everybody starts standing up. Then in the last recently, also we're starting to see like, well, maybe it's not about sitting or standing. It's about how much movement variability you have, right? So, you know, it's one of those, sure, you can sit all day, you can stand all day, but the net is if you're doing that, you're still in a static position all day, right? So what if the real answer is, you know, sit when you need to sit, stand when you want to stand, do a little movement in between. You know, I mean, I don't know, but that makes sense to me, so.
And it's, you know, I hear it, and but I just feel bad for people who just have regular jobs. Like, how would, you know, like, obviously someone in a regular job would be, like, a cashier, for example, standing in. They're not going to be able to whoop out a steel mace, and like, every hour. That would be great, but I guess some people would have that problem, like.
Sure. Absolutely not. But at the same time, there's so much you could do that is just from a movement. You know, and like I said, we're talking about movement. We're not talking about exercise. So, you know, like the stuff they teach at the Yon Academy or Max Schenck has a great program called 5-Minute Flows. And some of them are as simple as just do some neck circles and some shoulders. You know, take 30 seconds and do that. You know, just make sure you're getting some movements. And maybe if you only have, like I said, those 30 seconds, maybe you do it a little more often. So like you, the cashier, okay, I ring somebody up. Okay, oh, we'll see, the line's down. Okay, cool. I'm just going to stand here. Oh, here comes somebody else. Okay, all right, let's get them through. All right, I'll just go back. Now I'll do my wrists, you know. And so you're still getting that input and that movement, you know. Right. But like I said, it doesn't look like a traditional workout, but it's probably just as good or maybe even better for you, right? So
Because it's the way you should be moving.
Right. And obviously, like, you know, when we're talking about things like high level performance or fat loss, you know, that's obviously different. But if we're just talking about the person who just wants to just a general level of health, you know, why not? So.
Yeah. And I love that. I think this is cool. I love talking about this because we're breaking apart like movement and exercise. We're talking about movement right now. We're talking about like in your everyday life, like moving your body like you naturally would, not exercise and, you know, for sports conditioning, right? So that's awesome.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm definitely not against that. I mean, you know, like right now I'm preparing for some jiu-jitsu tournament. So obviously there's a specific way I'm training. But, you know, when I'm done with that, you know, I'll probably just go back to kind of just doing what feels good. I'm going to go to the gym, swing my mace, swing my clubs, you know, do a little bit of work with some dumbbells and kettlebells. And then, and you know, I think that's healthy. Me, I think, again, that's part of that whole thing of keeping things in balance. You know, sometimes you feast, sometimes you fast, right? Same with physical activity. I think sometimes you take it easy and just do your thing. But sometimes I think it's cool to say, okay, there's this thing that is just going to require my full focus and intent. I just got to go out there and just do it. Just for like, which means I'm going to train really hard for like 3 months. And then I'm going to compete. Maybe I'm going to do a meet. I'm just going to do something. Or maybe your goal is just, okay, I'm just going to lose 30 pounds and get really lean, you know? And then, okay, you do that. And some people say, oh, that's not healthy, but that's kind of how I've been living. And I like it. I like that. Like I said, I like that rather than just trying to maintain this sort of mid-level, I like kind of being able to go back and forth, right? And have goals and have, you know, have reasons to train every so often. So
that kind of reminds me of that image that's going around with success and how it's like, it goes up and down, and it just goes in a circle. And then finally it goes, you know, I think that's the same shit with fitness, right? Same thing.
Yeah, and really, that's how it was day one. That's how it's gonna be till we die. You know, life is not, you know, life is not point A to point B. And I don't think your training should be either. I think you should experiment. And you know, and again, if you like to draw it back to the mace, if you have a tool that's so versatile that you can use for power or you can use for strength, like I don't know if you've looked at the Warrior Evolution that Isik and Marcus and Aaron put out, but
no.
That's a great template. Yeah, it's been out for a little bit, but it's cool because it shows how to use maces, kettlebells, and ropes in different capacities. Like, so one program would be like, we're going to use steel mace for activation, ropes for strength, kettlebells for conditioning. The next program is, okay, well, now we're going to use steel mace for strength, ropes for activation, and kettlebells, and again, kettlebells for conditioning. And so you get an idea of how you could just use a mace for all three of those purposes. So, you know, you take that out, and then, like I said, you just play around with it, experiment, you know, find out, like, you know, what works for you, what you like, what you don't like, and yeah.
Now, is that like a workshop or like?
It's a workshop and a program. If you go to Aaron's website, I think it's just battleropes.org. Okay. Yeah, he's got a link to it, but they are doing a workshop in up in Northern California in June, so it'll be the three of those guys.
Right on.
Yeah. But if you just look up Warrior Evolution, you know, Steel Mace, you'll find it. So
like if someone wanted to like, cause you, I look at you like a god, like you're like, you have a certification, like everything. I know that sounds weird, but you have a certification, like everything. And you know about all this stuff. You're like the on it dude for me. So like if someone was like, they want to do a workshop with Viking Ninja or this battle rope, is there any like prerequisite? Like, is there anything they have to do before? Or
no, and it's so with the Warrior Evo stuff, it you know, obviously having a little familiarity with the mace and the, but none of the movements they show are super advanced, and all the coaches, like if you buy the program, you actually get a list of videos where they actually cue you through the movements, which is really nice. And with Viking Ninja, the way we've structured it is the first course is you actually have to attend a prep course first. So if you have, you know, if you just either have no fitness or have not used a mace, come to the prep course, we'll show you how to do everything, and then you can sort of pick your path through up the Viking Ninja tree. And we actually have, so I'm working on some art for that right now that kind of shows like what the belting system is and what your options are. So yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I just wanted to ask in case someone was like interested with the Viking Ninja stuff, cause I know you're totally all about that. So
yeah. And in a lot of the workshops we've done so far, we've had broad spectrum. We've had trainers, we've had enthusiasts, we've had people who just wanted to see what it was about. We've had martial artists, we've had, you know, dancers, everybody. So it's been really cool. So.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, yeah. I personally want to know more about it too, because it just kind of like, I was like, is it on it or is it Viking Ninja? I knew it was Zeke's, but I was like, what's going on there? You know, so that's cool. It clarifies for those that are listening.
Yeah, and it's one of those, I don't know how much of this I'm allowed to talk about, but you know, obviously if we could work something out with Onnit, that would be awesome, because you know, we all love Onnit, all the coaches, we're all Onnit Academy certified, that's how we all came together, and we still go through the Onnit workshops, and you know, in fact, yeah, we love Austin, and you know, we obviously Viking Ninja wouldn't be without the Onnit Academy, so you know, huge props to those guys. So
right on. So in your opinion, how has like the Steel Mace like transformed you? How has it like changed you? Like, I just had to ask that question.
So man, I gotta say, it has really, really given me an appreciation for slowing down and learning how to generate tension. You know, like again, make the lightweight feel heavy. And it's funny because when I took the first Steel Mace cert, I didn't really think about it too much. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. But I audited Steel Maces about a couple months ago, back in September, when they did one out in San Francisco. And this, and just a tirade, this is why everybody, you know, you guys who are Onnit Academy certified, you know, who's watching this, go audit the courses, please, because everything changes. You'll learn new stuff. But when I went back in September, that's really when ESIC had really started kind of bringing in this idea of what he calls radiating ranges. And so we did a lot of more high tension stuff. And I left going, oh my God, like my nervous system was fried, but I get it. Like and it's funny because me being a movement correctives guy, you know, I look back at my FMS stuff or FRC and it's like, oh, it's the same thing they talk about when they talk about generating tension through those ranges to open up the ranges. So it's like, okay, well now I can do it with the tool. Again, another thing the mace is awesome for, if you're PT, prehab, rehab, correctives, put a mace in somebody's hands, you know, and teach them how to irradiate properly, you know, because it's a great proprioceptive tool. So that's how it's changed me, is just, and I noticed it too. You know, I took a break from jujitsu, and then when I went back just recently, I noticed that like when I would hold dudes or like when I would try to like frame up against them, I was just like, oh my God, I can do this all day. This is great. Like, okay, I'm sold. So,
right on, man. Yeah. And it's funny that you mentioned the rehab stuff, because I had this issue with costochondritis like in my chest for like the longest time, and I still get flare-ups once in a while, but I noticed how much the Steel Mace has improved like that, even that pain that I used to have.
Sure. Yeah. And from a rehab perspective. And if you do talk to, if you do get a sensei on the podcast, ask him about, I think the gal's name is Katie from Lion's Krav Maga. She had scoliosis, and he's actually been working with her to kind of do some correctives, and I'll let him tell you the story, but it's pretty fascinating. So the idea that, like I said, using this tool to kind of retrain your nervous system and your muscles can sort of, you know, fix, you know, functional issues, right? So again, it's not just about, you know, trying to beast your way through the heaviest 360 you can. You know, sometimes it's like, you know, go all the way back to the other end and, you know, wake up the rest of your body, you know? So.
Yeah. And I did, I started off with like the 7 pound. Mm-hmm. And that's been working great for me so far. But I think there's a lot of people that have that mentality or that perspective that exercise would actually make their pain worse. Mm-hmm. And honestly, when, like for me, when I was laying in bed and I was having this terrible fucking pain, I thought I was having a fucking heart attack. You do get into that like mental area where you're just like, should I be exercising? Like, is this even good for me? You start freaking out because you're like, I don't know if the steel mace is even good for that, you know? And I started doing the steel mace and it was a total opposite reaction.
Yeah. And again, I think that goes back to that idea, like we were talking about earlier, that the exercise is kind of this man-made invention that we think kind of is the answer to our lifestyle changes due to, you know, kind of things like the Industrial Revolution inside, but really they aren't, right? So when people think of exercise, they think, oh, right, that broken model that in a lot of cases doesn't actually pay attention to a health model like that, like, you know, pain-free movement or anything like that. So I think that's another, again, you know, we're talking mace and I love it. Like that's another thing that the mace has done. It really has kind of given people a new perspective on, you know, exercise. I mean, and like I said, I love it. Like I was at E6 first course, and then to see how many people, I mean, all of a sudden, like my Instagram feed is full of people swinging maces, and it's, you know, because of that. And it's so exciting, but it's not just that people are swinging maces. It's that they're putting into practice that thing that Isak talks about, mindful mechanics, that idea of, like you said, it's not about moving fast and throwing weight around. It's about control and it's about skill and practice. You know, the SFG guys say it best, you know, strength is a skill. And to see people mindfully practicing strength and movement and power generation, all these physical attributes as skills and not just mindless exercise, that's super exciting. You know, I mean, as a movement correctives guy, it kind of makes you sexy. So I'm going to have less clients, but ultimately, hey, if we're all out of pain and we're all out there like moving around and playing and having a good time, we all win, you know?
Right. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. So talk a little bit about that, the whole correctiveness stuff that you do, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
like.
So that's interesting because, years ago, like I said, when I really kind of decided to go into fitness, I didn't really know what I was going to do. And then, but just through working with people, and this is a little bit of a tangent, but this is why I think everybody should get a mentor if you're doing this. So I've been mentoring with Sarah Jameson, who's the Onnit Academy Durability Master Coach, for almost the last year. And originally when I kind of started down the fitness path, I'd sort of said, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do now. And I'd sort of started to kind of walk away from software engineering and technology. But as I was talking to her, she kind of said, well, you're already familiar with that population. So why don't you take a look at those guys and see how you can serve them best? And I realized, oh yeah, well, here's a population of people and I'm one of them who sit at a desk like this all day. It's like, well, they need corrective work. They need movement work. They don't need to be doing CrossFit and OCRs like they all are. They need to learn how to move better first. And it's funny because the more I started digging into like the FMS and FRC, I was like, you know, my nerd software engineering brain again, I was just like, oh my God, this is like solving a puzzle. This is like writing code. You know, it's like looking at somebody and saying, okay, well, here's what I see from your assessment. How do we fix all this? What do we give you? So here's the output I want. The output is I want you to get a 3 on your deep squat or something. I mean, obviously that's arbitrary, but what's the input for you specifically? There's a guy named Dr. John Russin. I don't know if you know his work, but definitely look that up.
No,
but
I'm learning so much from you right now.
Oh, thanks.
That's the purpose of these podcasts. I'm like a villain, like, I'm going to learn everything.
I love it. But he says, you know, research is all well and good, but what really matters is that N equals one in front of you, that person right in front of you. And so for me, figuring out exactly what it is that this person needs is just crack for me mentally, because it's a puzzle. And so, and as I dove into like functional anatomy and all that stuff, I was just like, oh my God, this is so interesting. Like just the way the body works. And, and even more than that, this idea that we've gotten to this point where, and I'm not bashing on Western medicine at all, I think there's a lot of things that Western medicine does very well, but we've gotten to this point where I feel like we're rushing people into things they might not need. So surgery is a great example. I mean, I think there are so many cases where people get referred to some sort of orthotic or surgical kind of solution when really maybe we just need to step that person back, look at how they're moving, look at how they're firing, and say, okay, well, we could clean that up and you'll be just as well. I don't know if you heard so Shane Hines, the Steel Club's master coach out at Ana, just recently he had a knee issue. And when he had gone in for an MRI, he'd had another knee issue when he was younger. And I believe the doctor said something like, you know, I know you had work done on this knee, but I can't tell that you ever had an injury there. And that's just from all the mobility work that he's done. So it's hard for me to say that doing this kind of work isn't, I mean, it's not a catch-all, right? I think we've also gotten to this point where we think that mobility and movement is kind of this new catch-all, which is not. But
right.
I think it's been an overlooked thing for a long time. And to draw it back to the mace, again, to take a tool that, first of all, when people see, they get excited about, but also has that potential, like, again, you know, it's
bonus
answer to all things. And so to me, one of the things I'm looking at now is how, you know, like we talked about, how do I work the mace into corrective work? How do I work those unconventional tools? I mean, or especially the battle ropes, for example, is actually where it all started for me, is as far as using unconventional tools for correctives.
But, oh, battle ropes, right on.
Yeah. So yeah, and if you haven't taken any of Aaron's courses, I really recommend you do, because that was the mind blowing part when he actually showed. Again, you know, we think it's all about moving fast and power up, but Aaron, you know, Aaron also has this other side. He's like, well, no. What happens if we use the rope as a static tool or as a priming and activation tool? We can totally do that. So again, like I said, I think these are things that are all overlooked, and this is why I got into kind of movement and correctives, is that there's all this work that's yet to be done that to me is fascinating.
And I think it's a perfect time for it, because like you said, everyone's fucking like, you know, their posture is just like, I even have posture problems, you know, like it's a perfect time to get into that too.
Absolutely. So yeah, so that's it in a nutshell. And yeah, like I said, you know, I've just started kind of taking clients for that. So, you know, if anybody's interested in correctives and movement work, you know, wants to do some online work, hit me up. I'm down for that. So, yeah.
Yeah. So where can they find you?
So obviously, anywhere online, I'm Coach Seth Gibson, Coach Seth Gibson on Instagram, Coach Seth Gibson on Facebook. I think on YouTube, I'm just Seth Gibson, but, yeah, that's the best way to get in touch with me. And of course my email, same thing, CoachSethGibson@gmail.com. So yeah, very easy to find. So
yeah, totally. So what type of resources, like, I know you mentioned a couple books, like, is there books or, you know, websites? Obviously you mentioned a crap load already, but if you could, like, maybe top three or something.
Okay. Top three. Well, actually my favorite resource is people. Going to continuing ed courses and meeting people or talking to people like you, you know, who have such kind of a diverse view on things. But, so top three right now, obviously, Onnit Academy and Viking Ninja. I got to give props to all those guys, you know, read, and if you can't make it to a certain, read the blog, you know, read the Onnit Academy blog, read the Onnit blog, you know, listen to the podcasts. I mean, I, you know, Kyle Kingsbury took over and he's been killing it. I mean, some of the guests he's had on are awesome. Again, I mentioned Dr. John Russin, shout out John. This is a guest. So he's a guy I kind of started reading his work a couple years ago, and it's the same idea. Like, he's one of those guys is like, well, yeah, you can squat and deadlift heavy, but you can also do it in a healthy way. And so again, so I read his first one, I'm like, oh, this dude gets it. And I was lucky enough to kind of go to some of his seminars and meet him, talk to him a bunch of times. And so we're decent friends now. And so of course I'm going to full disclosure, but I'm going to shout his stuff out. So drjohnrussin.com. He has a program called Functional Hypertrophy Training, which I think everybody should look into, because it talks about a lot of the same things we've been talking about with the mace, you know, like irradiation and controlled tension and quality reps. So, and along those lines, I'd also recommend people look up Max Shank. Max Shank is another guy who's into good, like, healthy functional strength. It's like, yeah, you can be strong. You can, like, the reason I started following him is he put this video out about 6 years ago. And this was, of course, back when I would say things were even worse online than they are now. Like, where everybody's like, no, either you're a power lifter or you're a CrossFitter or you're this. And so he said, guys, check this out. He put this video of him where he deadlifts some stupid number. It's like 500 or 600. Then he goes and pops a gainer. And then he does a full press up into handstand. This is before people were really into that. And he does all that in one video. And he's like, look, you can do it all. And, yeah. And so from that minute, I was like, yep, that guy gets it too. So, and then lastly, I know this is the next one, but I'm going to give a shout out to, my mentor, Sarah Jamison, movolution.com. And she's also the Onnit Academy durability coach. And for anybody who is on the Onnit Academy path, if you're really, really interested in understanding how the whole Onnit Academy process works, I would say you really need to take the durability course, because Foundations is kind of the intro. Durability really, really dives into why those movements and the movement principles that they talk about in Foundation really work. So
this is cool. This is cool because you give us an inside look. Because I go on their website and like, you know, usually you find Foundations and then I don't know where else to go after that. So that's awesome that you shared that with, mm-hmm. with listeners. So it goes Foundations and then the Durability. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, and I think they actually shipped, like originally Durability was a specialty, kind of a level 2 course, but I believe they've actually shifted it back to where they call it Onnit Academy Foundations Durability. So, got it. And I don't know if that's the official language, but the idea is that Foundations and Durability are kind of on the same, those are like your introductory courses that you really should take first. And then, so.
All right. Got it. All right. So we figured out where to find you. We mm-hmm. talked a little bit about like all your awesome, like correctiveness.
Thank you.
Body movement from primal days and
sure.
I think that this was great, you know. Cool. I thank you for being on this podcast. Obviously I try to keep my podcast short because I know people's attention mm-hmm. spans that I know, but no, thank you so much. I feel blessed to have you on here and
I think it's exciting that you're doing this. You know, like I said, and thank you for having me. You know, you've had some great guests. I hope you have a lot more. And like I said, I'd love when we get the Viking Ninja podcast up in a couple months, I'd love to have you on too, just to kind of see where you are. And because you have a very interesting story as well. So kind of the more that enthusiast perspective.
But, yeah, I'm definitely really cool. Enthusiast. I'm learning from all of you, to be honest. Like I'm getting there. Yeah. Definitely on it. Something I want to do in the future. I just right now, you know, I just mm-hmm. it's in Austin, Texas. So it's a little far for me, but eventually, yeah. Eventually, I hope to be at your guys' level. I'm not there yet, though.
Yeah, well, just keep playing. You know, just keep, like I said, I think people are one of the best resources out there. So just there's so many people that know so much, and contrary to popular belief, a lot of it is very complimentary. You know, so talk to as many people as you can. You know, keep doing the podcast. You know, read stuff, and yeah, I mean, that's almost just as well. So
learn from Coach Seth Gibson. All right. Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you so much for being on here. And guys, I'm going to put all the notes in the blog post, and you guys can check out all the links we talked about on here. And do you have anything else to say?
Like I said, thank you so much for having me. You know, cheers to all your audience and listeners. And keep it up. I love what you're doing.
All right. Thank you. May the universe flow with you.
Yeah, you too. Cheers.
Don't forget to go check me out at www.steelmacewarrior.com, where you can find Steel Mace workouts, blog posts on Steel Mace, and so much more. Obviously, my podcast. And again, make sure you share this with your Steel Mace community friends, and may the universe always flow with you.